Hello and welcome to the Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live, and this is a family show. This Friday show is for your family and about your family, and we're delighted you're here. And the second hour is all kids. Anybody under 18 is welcome to call with any question they've got about the Catholic faith. If you have a question about the Catholic faith and you are under 18, if you're allowed to dial the phone, go ahead and dial in that second hour. And if you're not allowed to dial the phone or you're not sure if you're allowed, ask the person who gives the permission whether you can and give us a call then. This hour, we talk about kids. Instead of talking to kids this hour, we talk about them and talk about your kids, my kids, how we help kids remain in the faith, remain in the Catholic faith and grow and thrive in the Catholic faith in order to experience the fullness of this life and the joys of this life, and in order not to succumb to the pressures and the I suppose seductions would be the word, the seductions of modern faith. And if you have questions about helping kids, whether they are your adult kids or they're your kids, to remain in the faith, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Marlon De La Torre, a renowned catechist himself, who travels the country helping dioceses and localities develop their catechesis strategies, and is author of many books. We'll get into all of that, but let me say hello now to Marlon. Marlon, you're there with us. Marlon De La Torre.
Hi, how are you? Good to hear you.
I am very, very well. So this is not something that we are doing great at, the helping our kids to make the faith their own and thrive in the faith as a community, I mean.
Correct. It's for whatever reason, we tend to, I wouldn't say fail, but either forget or neglect the basic premise of what a child needs, or let alone a family. And so it's very important that we look towards that understanding of faith and what are our basic premises, or anthropology, if I dare say that, or Christian anthropology, of how to lay the groundwork on expressing the faith from the very beginning. It's something we stress with teachers all the time, wherever I travel over the country. The teachers ask me, whether in Catholic schools or in parishes, all right, well, when do I begin? And I tell them the moment they're born.
Yeah.
The moment they begin to sense their surroundings. And I tell them in particular, there's a certain age gap between the age of 2 and 9 where a child develops their worldview. And through that process, if the child sees something that is distinctively Catholic and they relate that to mom and dad or aunt, uncle, sibling, that will stick, or that will gravitate to them. They will understand why we do what we do. And so it's very important from the very beginning that we establish that process of formation, evangelization, catechesis, what have you, during that age range.
So now I have to say, there's going to be a lot of people who say, oh, I miss that. I miss that turn off.
That, exactly.
So now what?
Well, now you recover. Now, basically, if you've got a 14-year-old kid, a child who is ambivalent or antagonistic towards the faith, you begin to show motives of credibility or something to that effect that begins to lay the groundwork on what they're called to do, not just as Catholics, but as simple Christians in the vineyard. And how does that look like? Well, if they don't know how to pray, introduce them to something of a conversation with God, taken from the Annals of St. Augustine. Or you begin to basically just communicate with them. It's what we call a simple pedagogy, or you're guiding them towards something, but you're not overt with them, or you tell them, all right, you're going to pray the rosary right now on your knees until they hurt. You begin to slowly bring an awareness that, you know what, God does care for you. And that's the number one thing I tell high school teachers. I taught high school for many years. And one of the things that you can scare a high school student with is by placing them in front of a full-length body mirror. They won't look at each other. They will not dare look at themselves, even though we tend to think there's a narcissism there. They're afraid to look at their own image. And that's where we attack that situation with the 14-year-old. Get him or her to see that, you know what, there's value in you. And that value was given to you by God. And that value can never be taken away, regardless of what anybody says to you. And that's where you begin to prick away those layers. You remove the scales and you begin to see or develop an identity because most kids, unfortunately, were not given that opportunity. So you begin with that identity with God, that identity with Christ, and hopefully through prayer, fasting, discipline, you begin to just pick away at those scales that have been placed upon him or her for whatever reason. And eventually, they'll see something of the light of Christ.
888-318-7884 is our number here. If you have questions about helping your children to receive the faith, stay in the faith, and grow in the faith, Marlon De La Torre is our guest this hour. He's adjunct professor of catechetics at Holy Trinity Seminary for the Diocese of Fort Worth and the executive coordinator for pastoral provision in conjunction with the Holy See and the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. You probably, if you know him, you might know him from his book, Screwtape Teaches the Faith, which parallels C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I'm going to give you a tough one here, Marlon.
Sure.
And I don't want you to think this is personal. I don't want you to think this is coming from me. But let's say there was a father who on Father's Day Sunday this week would be seeing his adult children again, his young adult children, and not all of them have accepted the faith as adults, and they are estranged from it. So I don't want you to think at all that's my story. I'm just kidding. So how do we do that? How do we parents who might have children who are they're maybe maintaining a strategic ambiguity with us about their faith life, or seem to have, at least for the time being, rejected the faith?
I think you embrace them regardless of the situation. So if there's an antagonism or ambiguity, or basically a distance between father and son or daughter, you still accept them where they're at with respect to they're still children of God. And even in the conversation, I've had this question many times from both moms and dads. It's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I kind of blew it. And now they think I'm a hypocrite because I'm coming back into the church, or that I'm being forceful or imposing my will on them. And what I tell parents is, look, one of the greatest gifts we can do and we can witness to our children is to apologize. Not apologize for as a sense of weakness, but apologize that there were certain things that we should have done that we didn't do or that we weren't aware of. And that justice and mercy is part of the gift of God's kingdom. And that's one thing that really strikes a chord with a lot of parents that they don't think about. It's like, well, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, so I take it at that. Well, at the same time, if there was something that was done and you were aware of it, it's good for your children to see you not in a weakened state, but in a state of mercy, in a state of forgiveness. If there was something that is still inundating the family through past faults, past actions, what was said or not said, or just not raising them in the faith at all, and now you have this this reversion to the faith, and they don't care to follow in your footsteps, apologize to them, not by making them feel anything less than what they are, but just explain to them where you're at. I think part of that dialogue, if I dare say, has to be truth. And the truth is, I was not there for you, if that's the case, or I didn't do enough for you at this time. And not that I want to make up for it. I just want you to see it for the sake of truth, for the sake of what the church offers. And whether you like me or not, that's all right. But I just want you to see that Christ does indeed exist. He does love you and has a plan for you. And that's something that I think for a lot of parents, they take some solace in because it's the first step of seeking mercy and forgiveness and hopefully opening the door.
Marlon De La Torre is our guest. We're talking about passing the faith to your kids. If that rings a bell with you as something you'd like some help with or like some discussion of, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break, and we will be right back with more of your calls. Well, not more of your calls, but for all of your calls for Marlon De La Torre on passing the faith to your kids right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you've got questions about passing the faith on to your kids, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. That's our discussion this hour, passing the faith on to your children, 888-318-7884. Right now, I am joined in studio with a man who, frankly, I can't wait to go to Rome with. Chris Check, President of Catholic Answers.
Si, you and I and Father Hugh Barber are going to Rome in November. November 4?
Yeah, November 4th through 13th.
Glory to God. And we're only taking 50 people.
Yes, and that means
50.
50, and there's not very many of those.
No,
slots
there are about 10 slots left.
Yeah. So whether you're a couple or a single, you are welcome to call. There are plenty of folks. We had a question actually for them to say, "Well, is going to be awkward if I come as a single person?" But we've got a bunch of single people going.
Sure, we do.
And we got a bunch of couples going.
Yes.
And whatever your
we
level
don't discriminate.
Is, we do. Well, we might discriminate. I don't want any more of your relatives coming. But other than that, no. the other thing is, another question we got recently was about, well, do I have to be one of those people who really knows the faith really well? Am I going to be uncomfortable? Are you all like a bunch of super Catholics who are going to intimidate me? And
the answer is no. The answer is you're going to be in Rome, the center of the world, the eternal city, the most beautiful city in the world. And you're going to have a magnificent time. And we are going to stay at the Colonna Palace Hotel, which is right in the middle of the historic center. We're going to do a lot of walking. So if you want to see Rome through the dirty windshield of a bus, this is not your tour. Right? Now, there will be a couple days, Si, where we'll need a bus. There's a couple of places we're going to see a little off the beaten path. One of them is St. Agnes outside the walls, which has its own catacombs. It has the foundation of one of the early Constantinian basilicas.
Wonderful.
There's the mausoleum of Constanze there, his daughter. And it's also where every year in February, they take the lambs that are sheared. The nuns bring these lambs in and they're sheared. And then that wool becomes the pallium when a new cardinal is made.
So, oh, man.
And the bones of St. Agnes are there, of course.
And if you don't know St. Agnes, well, let me just tell you, Thomas Aquinas did. He carried relics of her around. Did you know that?
Yes,
yeah,
I did know
Hugh
that.
Barber told me that.
Yeah.
Two relics of St. Agnes.
Well, speaking of which, Father Hugh, who has lived in Rome, I've been to the Eternal City a dozen times. Father Hugh has lived there extensively. You can't ask for a better guide than Father Hugh. And it's going to be convivial. You're going to see all the big sites. We'll see the Scavi, the excavations under St. Peter's. So we'll see the bones of St. Peter. We'll see the big sites, and we'll see some things off the beaten path that you would only see if you went with a guy like Father Hugh, who really knows the inside of the Eternal City.
We're going to just settle in one hotel. We're going to fly over, and we're going to settle for the entire time in one hotel, the Colonna Palace Hotel, right down next to the Pantheon. You can look it up on your Google machine. It's right down in the middle of everything, and we are going to see Rome, but even more important, we are going to live Rome. We'd really like it if you'd come November 3rd through the 14th. You just go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Only about 10 slots left, folks, so don't delay.
No, don't delay. It's we'll fill up pretty quickly. And as we've said all along, when we get to 50, it's done, because otherwise we can't all stay together in the Colonna Palace
right.
Hotel. So.
And it becomes too much to walk around.
Yeah, and we're going to have fun. And
will there be red wine?
So funny. I was just going to ask you about wine.
And some good food, probably.
Yes, yeah. Right.
An abundance of both.
Right. And if you're, yes, we want you to come. Just come. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
If you want to just shoot us an email, you can always, anytime, you know, you can shoot us an email about anything. But if you got a question about the pilgrimage, send it over to radio@catholic.com. Radio@catholic.com. If you want to find out more on your own, just go exploring at CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com and come with us.
Amen.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Cy. And I want to say thank you for getting a Texan on the show.
I know. Right. You he's in your parents' diocese.
Right?
I just heard.
Fort Worth.
That's right.
Fort Worth. That's right. Marlon De La Torre is our guest. And Marlon is, well, he's well known all around the country. And indeed, you've probably been to Rome a few times.
I've had the pleasure three times.
Yeah.
So, love that city. Never fails to, every time we've had the pleasure of going. Can't get enough. So it's the beautiful city of our Lord, and it's just a great joy to be there.
I have a suggestion for you then. Go over to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. And so, no, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
Today we're talking about what is exactly your business and what you have devoted your life to, and that is the passing on of the faith and the strengthening of the faith in your fellow Christians. That's why people bring you all around the country to do the work that you do. That's why people buy your books, particularly the one that connects to today, probably is Screwtape Teaches the Faith, a book that looks at, everyone knows C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, but you connect it with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And So it sounds like the various different scenarios I presented you of parent with child and wanting to pass on the faith to them, it sounds like it sounds very relational to me. It sounds like relationship is at the key of all the answers you gave me in the first segment.
It is. There's a basis for any parent that calls me and says, all right, how do I communicate with my kid? And I tell them, and the first thing is, have you been praying for your child since day one? And they said, well, of course. I said, well, how are you praying with them? Or what are you doing to guide them towards this relationship with Christ that you're trying to establish? And that's where they get stumped. Because they, for whatever reason, they didn't take that approach or didn't think of it. They just assumed, well, we do the basics. We go to Mass. Maybe we pray a little bit here or there. We say a rosary from time to time. We pray for somebody in need. But there's never a consistency with a lot of parents. And so I tell them, start interceding on behalf of your son or your daughter. Begin that approach in terms of forming their faith, knowing that mom and dad are praying for you. So there's no less of a gift than knowing that a child knows that his mom or dad has their back. So the greatest thing that they can have from their parents is like, mom, dad, have my back. And in terms of that process of prayer and formation, it really becomes key in establishing that core relationship with a child, with your son, with your daughter, with your siblings, whatever the case may be. And that's crucial for us. Case in point, I've got four kids of my own. It ranges from 20 years to five. And all four of them are different. They're all distinct. My oldest is my son, and then three girls. And each one has a different charism based on what we've done, not just in praying for them, but in guiding them to see, all right, what does God have in store for you? What is part of your process? Because for us, God gave us these children for a reason, and we're here to take care of them on his behalf. And that's the key component in dealing with forming any type of faith with a child, is that we were given a gift by God to be instruments to form these children in his name. And if we take that approach, I'm not saying all people don't, but if we establish that from the very beginning they're born, then we become not just parents per se, but or caregivers, but we are spiritual caretakers. And that's really the formation, the foundation of what we're called to do. When you relate it to Scripture from any perspective, whether it's the Great Commission in Matthew 28, or when God is explaining to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 2, all right, this is what I want you to do, and then he tells him to write these things down in Exodus 17, there's a premise on how to convey the faith. And for a parent, you're not just a catechist. You're not just a pedagogue in terms of guiding somebody towards God. You're really the instrument that they see on a daily basis, that we are the primary example of how someone's going to grow in their Catholic faith. And if we allow that to grow and not fester aimlessly, but allow it to grow intentionally, then we've got something between mom and dad and their children. And that really sets the stage for any child, God willing, to grow, or at least to be open.
888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about passing the faith on to our children. If you have questions in that regard, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We'll start off the calls today with Sean in Michigan. Sean, you there with us?
Yes. Hi. How are you? Thank you, gentlemen, for all you're doing.
Well, thank you,
I'm in a precarious position. I have a godson, so not the parent, but the godfather, and I'm trying to pass on the faith. He's gotten heavily involved in things like Dungeons and Dragons and things that are, you know, have an occult foundation to them. Sure. And I'm wondering how you would best tackle that, not being a parent, just telling him he can't do those things. And I'll put myself on mute and listen. Thank you.
No, great question. Great question. I think when you have something that's questionable, like Dungeons and Dragons and things of that nature, think of alternatives for them. Obviously, they like fantasy. All right, that's great. And they like battles as well. And there's some sleuth involved with Dungeons and Dragons. And as you progress through those stages, not to give the game away, you're always tempted with another gift, or they're tempting you with to go deeper into those caverns that Dungeons and Dragons offers. So the contrary to that, or the parallel to that, would be, right, why don't you introduce them to a sleuth game or something that will attract their attention? Basically, either reading anything from Sherlock Holmes in terms of literary background, or you read something related to Lord of the Rings, Silmarillion from J.R.R. Tolkien, or introduce them to the Lord of the Rings itself so they can understand that there's an alternative to the Dungeons and Dragons game itself, that there's another fantasy world that really espouses a Christ-centered worldview. And it's something to present to them. There's even a Lord of the Rings board game, if I dare say, and a video game that really can counteract anything from Dungeons and Dragons. I've had this question before many years ago, and parents trying to find an alternative to these things. And typically, I ask parents how they find Dungeons and Dragons to begin with. They say, oh, the internet. And either grandma or grandpa bought it or were aware of it, and somebody introduced them to it, and it stuck. So I try to find alternatives for parents, and sometimes they're not aware of the Christian imagery with Lord of the Rings, so they're not familiar with those stories or with the Chronicles of Narnia, for example. So that's what I would do to offer an alternative to him, and just walk with him, all right, since you're the godfather and you're part of the spiritual nourishment they're supposed to receive. Introduce those to them subtly. Say, hey, you know what? I got an idea. You ever heard of Lord of the Rings? You ever heard of the Silmarillion or the Hobbit and this battle between good and evil? And see where it goes from there, slowly but surely, because a child that's knee-deep in Dungeons and Dragons will be very difficult, at least up front, to distract them or unwind them from the game. So you want to introduce it subtly over a period of time and then to see where it goes from there. The other thing is this. Pray for him, as I know you do, and really don't stop interceding for him so they can find an alternative.
Our caller there, Sean, said he was just going to listen on hold. So we'll say thank you very much for the call, Sean. Appreciate it. 888-318-7884 is the number if you're a parent or a grandparent or, as Sean was, a good godparent looking for ways to help young ones find the faith, keep the faith, persevere in the faith, make the faith their own. This is the hour for you. 888-318-7884, whether your kid is one or 73. From there 1 to 73, you can call about your kid. 888-318-7884. Up next is Laura in Oklahoma, listening on 97.3 FM. Laura, your question for Marlon De La Torre.
Yes, so I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old son, and my 9-year-old is very curious, and he wants me to explain to him more about the Trinity. So how would you best explain the Trinity to a 7 and a 9-year-old?
Okay. Typically, with 7 and 9-year-olds, you're dealing with what I call organic elements. They want motives of credibility. What that means is this. They want something physical that they can see and touch, or reality that exists. There's two ways to go about that, Laura. One is take the basic element of water. For example, when explaining the Trinity, a water has distinct properties. It's a liquid. Okay. It's a gas when put under extreme temperatures, and it's a solid when put under extreme temperatures. But the same substance still occurs, meaning it's still, those are all derived from water. And so it's one simple way or basic way to explain the Trinity to a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old, that our Lord is divine. He reveals himself through three distinct modes: himself, because he is the creator. He is I am, as we see in Exodus, for example. He reveals himself through his Son, the Son of God, second person of the Blessed Trinity, and through his breath or spirit or ruah, that we call the Holy Spirit, the messenger of God. And we can see that in Luke 1:26, or the messenger Gabriel revealing and communicating with our Blessed Mother Mary. But in terms of elements, I would use water for them to see that you have three distinct properties, but one nature. The nature is water. And that would be one of the foundations of explaining the Trinity itself.
Do you want to?
The other would be this.
Marlon, we got to take a break because the music's
no
playing.
Problem.
But how about we finish this up on the other side? Can you hang on, Laura?
Yes, I can.
All right, Laura, hang on. We'll be right back with more with Marlon De La Torre on keeping your kids, helping your kids to stay in the faith. If you have questions in that regard, 888-318-7884.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Coming up Monday on More to Life, Fool Me Twice.
Are there people in your life who are consistently letting you down? Tune in to More to Life today at Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Laura in Oklahoma, listening on 97.3 FM, is one of the best mothers I know, apparently, because she's got her 9-year-old and 7-year-old asking questions about the Trinity. That's pretty good parenting, yeah. Laura. You're off to a good start. But how to explain it? Our guest, Marlon De La Torre, was in the midst of his answer when we had to go to the break. So, Marlon?
Sure, Laura. No, I commend you for having that dialogue with your kids. That's fantastic. But I think that water explanation or analogy that I was expressing to you, where they see a gas, they see a solid, and they see a liquid, that's essentially a good way of getting them started in how God reveals himself and how to explain the Trinity, because they see the elements, and God is the author of all these elements. And that's important that for a young child, he or she sees that connection between nature, the element of nature, and how God has orchestrated all this to work. And so that's a very good way of laying a foundation of explaining the Trinity. And then you discuss those elements in light of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then if you tie scriptures into that, obviously you can use the whole discourse of Christ being baptized in John 3:5, or discuss the whole element of the Eucharistic discourse in John 6. I think you begin with verse 37. And then Matthew 28, obviously, the Great Commission, 17 through 20, but and you can tie in those scriptures to give them an understanding of how God communicates through His Son, through the Holy Spirit, still maintains obviously that He is divine, and then you can tie that in with the water example. That way, they see how everything is communicating because water nourishes, water replenishes, and water is good for us just by nature itself. So that's what I would do as laying a foundation to explain the Trinity to your 7-year-old and your 9-year-old. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and they both love science. So I think being able to incorporate that into the lesson is going to be really helpful in helping them visually see.
Yeah, if I may say
what it is,
Laura. Thanks. If I may say, Marlon, it struck me that you made very clear at the beginning. Okay, this is the age 7 and 9. It has to be physical. They have to be able to see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, smell it. But I wonder how much when you give an explanation like that to a child, you just let it stay there, or do you say, you know, more questions are going to come up about this as you get older, and we can get deeper into it, because clearly, I mean, it's an inexhaustible mystery, and I guess my point is, how do you teach them that here's an image that you can have in your mind that will help you to see this, but it's always going to be something that's very, very hard to even begin to understand.
Correct. And the one thing about the term mystery is that when we tell them, and I get this a lot, mystery sometimes is mischaracterized as impossible to understand or learn. And what I share with parents and even with students, I say it's the mystery is that it's been revealed. It's up to us to try to unpack it a little bit more. And that to me is where I get giddy, if I dare say, where we have this opportunity to unravel more of what He's already revealed to us. So, for example, if you look at the biology of a child going through puberty, okay, you have different phases of the child going through prepubescent and then post-pubescent phases of the child. But they're still a human being, meaning that there are elements that the child's going through that he's developing both physically, emotionally, psychologically, so to speak, but he's still a child of God. He's still male. She is still female. And I've used that example of explaining the Trinity to teenagers, especially between 6th grade and 9th grade, because they see, well, yeah, I'm still me. Yes, but you've changed. Your voice has changed. Your physical appearance has changed. Your view of male and female has changed, but you're still you. God made you you. And He's trying to invoke in you those different biological aspects of how you're maturing so you can see yourself better, see yourself as a son of God, as a soldier for Christ, for example, if we're talking about the young men in particular. And so you can begin to invoke that process of development. And that's part of the development of the Trinity, meaning that the development of doctrine or the unveiling or unpacking is to help them see that mystery is something that God intends for you to understand as you open yourself to more of His language, to more of His communication, to more of His thought process through prayer, scripture, the catechism, lives of the saints. And so in tackling mystery, that you attack it through the senses organically. There's a particular, I think, article in the catechism, if I remember correctly, I think it's 170, where it stresses, give them this motive of credibility, what the saints have done, what the Mass does, how God has revealed Himself incrementally through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and how He wants man to be united with Him in whole. And so that's another way of really attacking or addressing that phenomenon of mystery when it comes to teaching the faith.
888-318-7884 is our number. The topic, helping your children to hold on to the faith. If you've got a child, maybe you've got one that you're worried about. If you'd like some advice in that department, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe you've got one that's you're not worried about, that they're progressing in a way that impresses you, but you'd like some help knowing what's next. How do I continue the growth of my child in the faith? 888-318-7884. Marlon De La Torre is our guest. And as I said, among his books is Screwtape teaches the faith, which parallels C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's available from TAN, St. Benedict Press. You got some places you're going, Marlon, so I'm going to let people know where you're going to be. He'll be part of the St. John Bosco Conference at Franciscan University at Steubenville, Ohio. He'll be presenting in both English and Spanish between July 18th and the 21st. He'll be in Corpus Christi Diocese, helping teachers become better teachers of the faith, and working with deacons and DREs later in August in Phoenix, Arizona. So you can find them in one of those places. Our number again, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. You know, you mentioned the internet before. Mm-hmm. I think for many parents, they see the internet as an enemy in a way, and it has those qualities, but one that they have to be very careful about making more attractive to their children by, you know, just banning it and making it off limits. How do you handle a child's faith life in the age of the internet?
Basically, I tell parents all the time, take the opportunity to look at your children and tell them first that you love them, and I love you very much, to the point where let's take away the iPad, let's take away your cell phone, let's take away whatever device you've got, and let's take a walk, pray, talk to me, see what's going on, and we'll go from there. It's as simple as that. And some parents try those aspects, and they work, and it's because the child has never been given the opportunity in this day and age to actually have a genuine conversation with your mom and dad. The conversation is through Twitter. It's through some who still use Facebook at a young age, or Pinterest, or Instagram, or let alone text. So that lost art of conversation has been deposed by a social media. And so I tell parents, look, engage your son or daughter. Ask them a direct question. What have you done today to grow in your Catholic faith? If they're teens, or if they're between the ages of 8 and 13, you ask them, all right, has there been something in your mind that's caused you to think about God? And so there are different questions based on the age. Why do we ask those general questions? Because that's the way they're thinking. The internet, any social media platform, allows you not to think. They inundate you with information. So how do you counteract that? Well, from a basic standpoint, as a teacher, or as a pedagogue, as a catechist, ask them a general question that'll make them think. Kind of blow their mind away, so to speak, but you want to engage that facet of this child. If you're dealing with an 18-year-old, an 18 to 22-year-old, basically ask them, when's the last time you thought about committing a sin? And they go, well, why would you ask me that? Because I know you did, because I know you will. And a college student asked me that one day. We were doing a presentation, Theology on Tap, and so I asked the question to this group of 80 college students, all right, everybody raise their hand the last time somebody thought about sinning today. They were all stunned asking the question. It's like, all right, let me rephrase the question. How many of you thought about either saying something, committing something, or had an impure thought of any kind within the last 24 hours? They all raised their hand. It's like, well, that's my point. And so I threw that question, because then I followed up by asking them, all right, when's the last time any of you have been to confession? Basically, out of the 80, only one. And so you want to engage them with those types of questions, because the moment I ask the question on sinning, because some of them had their phones on or were recording using their iPads, everything dropped. They put all their phones down, because we asked them a direct question. They all put it down, and now I had their attention, because it was something so far-fetched that they're never asked. But now they were inquiring, all right, what do you mean by that? And that's how I hooked them in. So there are ways. You have to be creative in asking the questions and not be afraid to throw those zingers at them, because they're not zombies. They're human beings. They're God's children. So whether you're dealing with that demographic of 18 to 22 or that teenage demographic, there is a purposeful question that you can throw at them that'll literally get them to think and put social media to the side. All human beings want to talk, so let's engage them.
888-318-7884, the number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer it that way. Passing the faith to your kids is our topic. Marlon De La Torre is our guest, and we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more calls for Marlon right after this.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. So I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's an all-family show today for this Friday. All kids' questions. Next hour, it's a kids' open forum. If you are under 18, you are welcome to call with your question about God, about the church, about the Bible. Jimmy Akin will be here to take those calls and answer whatever questions come up. And we might have some little prizes we'll be giving out. We'll see. So if you're a member of the younger set or you got a member of the younger set, next hour, perfect for you. This hour, we're talking about helping kids to receive the faith, passing that faith on to your kids. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Marlon De La Torre. His book, Screwtape, Teaches the Faith, a book which, as you could probably guess, takes C.S. Lewis's Screwtape letters, but then pairs it up with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can find that from St. Benedict Press. Lots of people on the line, so I got to go now to Tony in Portland. Is that right? Am I on the right line? Tony in Portland, can I go to that line? I think I can. Tony, are you there?
Very independent.
Oh, hi, Tony. Are you Tony? Hang on.
I'm Joni.
Okay, Joni. This is Cy. You're on the air. Are you in Portland?
Oh, I'm in Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
Okay. So your question for Marlon.
Yeah. Okay. So Marlon, I didn't hear that question that you said was a good question to ask your kids. I got distracted for a second, but I constantly think about my kids. I pray for them all the time.
Yeah.
Especially I want to talk about my daughter who is 22. She got married in January.
Okay.
And before that, she just started really pulling away from me. And we're both Christians. I'm a faithful Christian. She's a faithful Christian. And I know a couple of times when I said things, her response seemed to be something like, now that she's married, she doesn't owe, I shouldn't be concerned about her, or that our relationship should be different. And granted, it should be different, but now our relationship is so superficial and so much based on, I'll send her a word of encouragement, or I'll say, hello, how are you doing, honey? And it's like, good mom, with an exclamation mark and a smiley face. And it's, it chills me. It's so shallow.
All right,
and
so
she doesn't include me in things. There's only around. So I'm at a loss because I don't want to be, I don't want to pester her.
Joni, how old is your daughter again?
22.
All right.
22.
Marlon, what do you say to that?
All right, Joni. Based on what you're telling me, obviously, not knowing the whole complete family dynamic, in my experience in working with families with post-teens and young adults, the young adult basically wants to have a sense that they're equal with mom and dad. They want to go on their own and figure out what they're going to do with their faith, how they're going to live their life with their future husband or future wife. And they're really looking at mom and dad not to be that parental figure pre-marriage or pre-college, looking for somebody that would serve more as a counselor and a guide when necessary. So, for example, when my son went to school, he's 20 now, he's a seminarian for this diocese. So my wife was somewhat not distraught, but the fact that she wasn't getting initial communications with him, per se. And my son's point was, all right, I'm fine. It's okay. There were some superficial communications, but I assured her, I told my wife, look, he wants to establish his identity. And he wants to establish his identity with the church, and that's fine. We need to be there and be that silent witness and that guy that when he will call, we will answer. And that we don't need to be on him anymore. We trust, even though it's very difficult as a parent, to let go of a child, especially our first or second, per se. After the third and fourth, they can go home. They can leave for all we care. And I kid that. But with that said, what she may be looking for is, all right, Mom, let me give this a go on my own. If I need something, I will call you. But it doesn't mean you don't stop praying for her. You're always going to be that silent intercessor on her behalf. And you don't need to send a note, per se, every day or even every week. You could send her something like, you know what, I hope you and your husband are having a blessed day and know that we're praying for you. Something completely different, where you incorporate now and affirm the marriage that she's in versus just affirming herself. Does that make sense, Tony?
Yeah, and I do all that, and there's not a dad and a mom, and so we're divorced, so that there are some dynamics, you know, around that.
Okay.
But I guess I feel like this has gone to another level of what you're talking about. I feel like there's something going on that I don't understand. So, for example, her in-laws are in town and for a few days, and it just seems like she would include me in something. I just feel like there's something going on that I just am so unaware of, can't figure out. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
I hear what you're saying, and but I'm trying to figure out if this is the natural developmental status that you're referring to, or if it is something more. How do I continue to fill the same role? Like you just explained, that I would still be that silent supporter that she knows loves her no matter what, and just let God do His work.
Well, as an outsider, just listening to the two of you talk, Joni, it sounds kind of normal what she's doing. I don't know, Marlon, did you want to follow up with that?
It is. I would recommend, Joni, you're not all different from a lot of families, especially those that come from a divorce situation. I would say this: I would pray to Saint Rita, Cassia. I would turn to Saint Rita in dealing with what you're expressing right now. She would be a great intercessory saint for you in this situation. So I would read up everything you can find on Saint Rita in dealing with difficult family issues and struggles of that nature. For one, I would definitely turn to that beloved saint, because it would be ideal for you in this situation. And a particular scripture that comes to mind regarding parent to child would be Sirach chapter 2. I would turn to Sirach chapter 2, I think from verse 1 through 10 or 11. That's a discourse on trusting in God on behalf of your child.
All right, Joni, we will leave it there. We're talking about helping your children remain in the faith today with Marlon De La Torre. Next up, Joni, thank you. Next up is Jeff in Kalamazoo, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Jeff, your question for Marlon De La Torre.
Hi, yes. I'm calling regarding my daughter. Today is her 19th birthday. Her mother and I are divorced 3 years, just this June. And she came to me. Actually, she didn't come to me. She sent me a text about 2 years ago after she had turned 18. She knows that, you know, I attend Mass, and she's confirmed. Her mother and I were pretty good about that. In fact, her mother was a DRE at our church. So she was raised in the faith. And when she came to me in the text, she said, I know you're going to be upset, and there's something I have to tell you. And she proceeded to tell me in text that she was gay. I was upset, and another part of that is that her mom's sister is also gay, homosexual, and lives with a partner. And so there's that other influence. I try to be involved in her life as much as possible. she moved out for college but has now moved back in. The kids have always sided with their mom strongly. She has encouraged that to a significant degree. But in any case, I guess I'm wondering, like, I know that my kids had asked me before, because they know my faith and what my beliefs are, that if one of my children was gay, would I go to their wedding? Now, we're not to that situation yet, and I pray for Delaney, and I pray that this is a phase, but as she gets older and older and she brings her friend to family functions and those types of things, I guess I'm not sure.
How to respond?
I don't know what to do.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Jeff.
It's fair enough. I know several families in that same situation, Jeff, and it's not an easy one. What I can share with you, based on just experience, one, and also obviously church teaching and keeping with our faith. Obviously, you love her, and that's a given. She wants to know, to a degree, how much will you love her in light of this new information. And obviously, in that respect, you're her father. She told you for a reason to see, engage where you're going to be at with that. So obviously that's established. From that point forward, you begin to have a dialogue with her as much as possible in lieu of all the surroundings that she has or experiences with other people of that same nature, so to speak, of that same situation, that you're still going to be there for her. You are allowed to call into question her actions that go against the church's teaching. That's perfectly fine. You can still love her regardless of that. You are allowed to call her out with respect to anything that may be misconstruing the faith or causing a bad example or bad influence on either younger siblings or younger cousins or whatever the case may be. That is your right as a father. It's your right as a Catholic. And you explain that to her. It's important that that dialogue happen immediately. I'm working with a family where we have a very similar situation the way you describe it. And the father of this family, he has several young kids, and really he put his foot down when it came to the external family members, one who happens to be a lesbian. And he said, look, we respect you, we love you. However, you can't express these acts or these thoughts publicly in front of my kids. We will accept you in the household, but you must be respectful of my children and respectful of us and why we hold the Catholic faith and the teachings of the church this way. And she respected that. They understood that. So it's important that you begin that process of explaining yourself, why you believe what you believe. Okay. And then two, obviously embrace her, accept her. And then from that point forward, have that perpetual dialogue as much as possible and love her. Do you have to be at a wedding in the future with her? I'll leave that up to you. One answer would be no, because you're not going to affirm, quote unquote, that union per se. And somebody would disagree with me and say, well, you should be there because they're looking for acceptance. And that's a catch 22. I've seen it done both ways in that situation, if that should come to pass down the road. But prior to that, it's important that you clarify for her sake why we believe what we believe. Even though she's confirmed, even though she went through formation, she needs to always hear it in a loving way. And while you will still love her, but not necessarily accept all her actions that she may publicly profess, that would be contrary to the teachings of the church. Nothing wrong with that. You're not loving her less, though she may see that. But that would be really your role as a father, regardless of what may happen.
Okay, Jeff?
So, I think we got cut off.
I don't know. Jeff, is that answer acceptable to
you? Yes, she will definitely. She'll think that. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah, Jeff. And then one thing I would tell you is this. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians offers some solace in your situation. I would recommend, if anything, in terms of meditating on Scripture, to read Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about the unity of Christ and the unity of the family. I would definitely read that as part of your journey with her.
Okay, Jeff?
Okay, will do. Yeah. Are there, I mean, this is a lot, and, you know, I'm still absorbing it. She hasn't told anybody else in my family. She knows they'd all be against it, and I don't know what it would do. But
well, don't lose heart. By all means, Jeff, don't lose heart. You love your daughter. God loves your daughter. And sometimes it takes a long time of patience for things to work out, but don't lose heart. Make sure you have confidence in the love of God and in your love for your daughter. Our guest this hour has been Marlon De La Torre. You can find out all about him at knowingisdoing.org. Knowingisdoing.org. You might want to get his book, Screwtape Teaches the Faith, a book that puts together the Screwtape letters and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Marlon De La Torre, thank you very, very much for a fine hour.
It's been a pleasure. Great job. Thank you. Appreciate everything at Catholic Answers.
All right. Up next, Kids Show.